Hi, this is Anne Merchant, and welcome to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academy of Sciences, the National Academy of Engineering, the Institute of Medicine, and the National Research Council, collectively known as the National Academies. Privacy is a growing concern in the United States and around the world. The spread of the internet and the seemingly unbounded options for collecting, saving, sharing, and comparing information trigger consumer worries. Online practices of businesses and government agencies present new ways to compromise privacy. And e-commerce and technologies that permit individuals to find personal information about each other only begin to hint at the possibilities. The fact is that privacy has many connotations: control over information, access to one's person and property, and the right to be left alone have all been included under this rubric. In political discourse, the term privacy has been used to refer to physical privacy in the home or office, the ability to make personal reproductive decisions without interference from government, freedom from surveillance, or the ability to keep electronic communications and personal information confidential. For many, privacy is regarded as a fundamental value and right, tied to ideals of autonomy, personal worth, and independence. Privacy is often seen as a necessary condition for keeping personal and public lives separate, for individuals being treated fairly by governments and in the marketplace, and for guaranteeing spaces where individuals can think and discuss their views without interference or censure. Philosophical approaches to the study of privacy have centered on the elucidation of the basic concept and the normative questions around whether privacy is a right, a good in itself, or an instrumental good. Economic approaches to the question have centered around the value, in economic terms, of privacy, both in its role in the information needed for efficient markets and in the value of information as a piece of property. Sociological approaches to the study of privacy have emphasized the ways in which the collection and use of personal information have reflected and reinforced the relationships of power and influence between individuals, groups, and institutions within society. Key to any discussion of privacy is a clear specification of what's at stake, in other words, what's being kept private, and the parties against which privacy is being invoked, or who should not be privy to the information being kept private. For example, one notion of privacy involves confidentiality or secrecy of some specific information, such as preventing disclosure of an individual's library records to the government or to one's employer or parents. A second notion of privacy involves anonymity, as reflected in, for example, the unattributed publication of an article or an unattributable chat room discussion that's critical of the government or of an employer, or an unidentified financial contribution to an organization or a political campaign. These simple examples illustrate a number of essential points regarding privacy. First, the party against which privacy is being invoked may have some reason for wanting access to the information being denied. A government conducting a terrorist investigation may want to know what a potential suspect is reading. An employer may be concerned that an article contains trade secrets or company proprietary information and want to identify the source of that information. Privacy rights are often invoked to prevent the disclosure of such information. It's clear that some kind of balancing of competing interests may be necessary. It's also important that we recognize that balancing is a task that's essentially political, and thus the political and societal power of various interest groups is critical to understanding how trade-offs and compromises on privacy develop. The National Research Council cites three major drivers of the vast changes affecting notions, perceptions, and expectations of privacy: technological change, societal shifts, and discontinuities in circumstance. Technological change refers to the major differences in the technological environment of today as compared to that existing many decades ago, and which has been a major influence on today's social and legal regime governing privacy. The hardware underlying information technology has become vastly more powerful. Advances in processor speed, memory sizes, disk storage capacity, and networking bandwidth allow data to be collected, stored, and analyzed in ways that were barely imaginable a decade ago. Other technological drivers are just emerging, including sensor networks that capture data and connect that data to the real world. Increasingly ubiquitous networking means that more and more information is online. Data stores are increasingly available in electronic form for analysis. New algorithms have been developed that allow extraction of information from a sea of collected data. The net result is that new kinds of data are being collected and stored in vast quantities and over long periods of time, and obscurity or difficulty of access are increasingly less practical as ways of protecting privacy. Because information technologies are continually dropping in cost, technologies for collecting and analyzing personal information from multiple, disparate sources are also available to individuals, corporations, and governments. Societal shifts refer to evolutionary changes in the institutions of society, the organizations and the activities and practices that make use of the technological systems, and to the transformation of social institutions, practices, and behavior through their routine use. To an unprecedented degree, making personal information available to institutions and organizations has become essential for individual participation in everyday life. These information channels have increasingly appeared in licensing, providing of services, employment, retailing, or the administration or conferring of government or private sector benefits to particular classes of people, like veterans, the unemployed, those with low income, or homeowners. And finally, discontinuities in circumstance refers to events and emergent concerns that utterly transform the national debate about privacy in a very short time, and thus don't allow for general adjustment to a new set of circumstances. The most obvious example in recent years concerns the events of September 11th, which transformed the national environment and catapulted counterterrorism and national security to the very top of the public policy agenda. But the SARS outbreak in 2003 hinted at the potential for global pandemic on a very short timescale, and measures to prevent pandemic outbreaks are now receiving greater attention. In the past, the Watergate scandals of 1972 to 73, the Church Committee hearings of 1976, and the attack on Pearl Harbor in 1941 could also be seen as watershed events with dramatic changes in the environment for privacy. Taken together, these drivers point to an environment for privacy that's quite different from what existed in the era that led to the formation of many of today's privacy expectations and assumptions about the nature of privacy and the role that privacy plays in individual lives and in society. As the environment changes, it's easy to see how understandings and a status quo developed prior to those changes can be upended. There's no immutable standard for what degree of privacy can be expected, suggesting that battles once fought and settled in one era may need to be refought and settled anew in another. Some of the most complex trade-offs and the ones most controversial or difficult to manage involve a trade-off of the interests of many individuals against the interests of a collective society. An individual's interest in keeping his or her medical records private, an interest shared by many individuals, may pose a trade-off when community needs for epidemiological information are concerned, or when emergency care for the individual is necessary without explicit consent. Video surveillance may deter crime, but also poses a privacy risk if male camera operators use the cameras to focus on private parts of women's bodies. While law enforcement authorities believe that it's helpful to know the identities of individuals interested in reading about terrorism or bomb making, librarians and many state legislators are concerned about ensuring a free, unfettered, and unmonitored flow of information to all library patrons that could be jeopardized if individuals' reading habits are potentially the subject of government investigation or even monitoring. Surveillance by government authorities can inhibit legal and legitimate social and political gatherings. It's important to note that the fact that trade-offs are sometimes necessary shouldn't mean that trade-offs are always necessary. In some cases, careful design and planning can minimize the trade-offs that are needed to attend to societal needs without compromising personal information. An example might be a design decision for a system to discard data immediately after it's been used for the purpose in hand. In many instances, privacy concerns are strongly mitigated by the non-retention of data. This perspective makes clear that the social context in which privacy is experienced has shifted in recent years. Expectations of privacy formed in the pre-industrial age weren't sufficient after the Industrial Revolution, and it should not be surprising that notions of privacy developed during the industrial age should show signs of stress in the new information age. It's at just such times of changing capabilities and expectations that we need to examine the core of our notions of privacy to ensure that what is most important survives the transitions. The National Research Council's Committee on Privacy in the Information Age was chaired by William H. Webster from Milbank, Tweed, Hadley, and McCloy. For more information on engaging privacy and information technology in a digital age, you may contact the Board on Computer Sciences and Telecommunications at 202-334-2605. You may also read the full text of this book online at the National Academies Press. My name is Anne Merchant, and you've been listening to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academies, advisors to the nation on science, engineering, and medicine. Be sure to visit us at our website at nationalacademies.org, where we have more than 3,000 books and publications available full text to read free online.